this particular passage today, Romans 8, gives us that security. You know, what a Sunday to land on Romans 8. I mean, we've been leading up to this chapter. Romans 8 gives us that incredible sense that we are secure in Christ. If there's ever a chapter in the Bible that allows you to know that when one day you are called up, no matter how that happens, because we don't know the day or the time, you know, like everybody was saying yesterday, David looked great. He looked great. Everything was fine. And now he's with Jesus. We don't know the day or the time. And if there's ever a security or an assurity that Jesus Christ is your eternity, it's Romans chapter 8. What an amazing, amazing chapter. This chapter, it starts off at the beginning that there is no condemnation. When? Now. Tomorrow and for eternity. There is no condemnation. To who? To those who are in Christ Jesus. So it starts off with saying no condemnation. At the end, it says that there is no separation. What a powerful chapter. And in between, all things work together for good to those who are in Christ Jesus, to those who are walking in Jesus Christ. And so we live in a world that is so, so confused. They say that right now that 1 in 5 of Canadians are going to, are at some point in their life going to be experiencing mental illness. Because of all the pressures and the things that this world throws at us, there are so many areas in which people are experiencing everyday anxiety and stress, that they're experiencing worry, they're experiencing fears. And the reason why is because of 3 different things. The past is always bringing up the garbage, the ghosts from the past, regrets from the past. The future is pulling up fears and anxieties about what's to come. And in the present, there's dealing with the stresses and the things that are coming at us in the now. And so Romans chapter 8 is beautiful because it talks about all those things. Where's the past? There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Where's our future? There is no separation. It doesn't matter what comes. What about the problems you're dealing with now? It's all going to work out for good. Right? Isn't it amazing? Romans chapter 8 deals with all of these things. It is the cure, the solution for worry, depression, and anxiety. And it is a beautiful, beautiful chapter. I remember one day on the phone, I called somebody up, and I wanted them to call me back. So I said, my phone number is... It was 289-308-6818. And I said, if you call me back, that would be gate. And then I wanted to press that button on the phone that, you know, deletes the message I just sent. Because I said, did I say that would be gate? Gate? Well, that's not a word. And Romans 8, they call it the great 8. It's the great 8. And it truly is great. And the reason why it is great is because it takes all of Romans chapter 1 to 7, it sums it all up, and it packages it in this beautiful picture that we are in Christ by the Spirit of God. There is no other chapter in the Bible that talks about the Spirit of God as much as Romans chapter 8. 20 times the Spirit of God is mentioned in this chapter, and that is direct occasions, not including pronouns. So this chapter shows us how we are to live our life in Christ, and it is by the Spirit of God. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. God told Noah in Genesis chapter 6, verse 14, make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. I don't know if you know this, but what he covered the ark with, this pitch, it is the same Hebrew root word that is used for atonement. I always thought that was so cool. When I first read it, I thought, I don't believe that. So I looked it up, and sure enough, it's the same root word. And what that root word means is it means a covering or to cover over or to atone, atonement for or to release something. So in other words, it's your forgiveness. And so what God did is he told Noah to cover the ark with this pitch, to cover it with atonement. And the people, the family that God called, they were the only 8 that came into that ark. And all of creation perished except for those 8. and all the animals that God brought into that ark. And I thought about this picture, and I think it's very intentional on God's part in the sense that it was written in this way and that the ark was covered with this particular substance that shared that same root word because it's a picture of Jesus Christ. And the picture is this. God did not say to Noah and to his family, you guys, you're the good ones. And you because of your goodness, because you're such good people and you never messed up and you never sinned, you're the only ones that are in. And everybody else has to stay out. Everybody could have come in if they would have responded to the preaching that Noah preached for how many years was it? 100 years? 120 years of preaching. And the people that were saved were his own family. Why were they saved? Not because they were good, but because they trusted God and they went in the ark and God sealed the ark. And if you want to be sure of your salvation, to know that if at any time you are called up, you need to be in Christ, nothing else. That is the answer. I talk to people all the time and it baffles me because I ask people about their relationship with Jesus Christ. I ask them about if they know that they have salvation through Jesus and they say, I hope so. They say, you know, I think I do. I think I'm good enough. I try really hard. And it's like, you know, God did not say to Noah and his family, you know, I built this great ark. Here's 8 ropes. You're going to have to hold on for dear life and have, you know, these ropes hanging on the side of the ark. You got to hold on for dear life because you were in for a ride. And as long as you can hold on, you're going to be safe. No, he took them and he put them in the ark. And that is a picture of what God did. When you trust in Jesus Christ, God takes your life and he places you in Christ. And that is your safety. You know, there's something amazing about the power of the love of a father for his child. You know, last night I got to experience that. And just watching David Sr. and said, I would give you my heart, my son. I would have given you my heart. I want to give you my heart. I'd take your place. And to hear a father say that to a son, I would give you my heart. That's the father's love for his son. I would take your place. And what God did in giving us his son, Jesus Christ, is he put us in a place of such security of the relationship between a father and a son, a father who has perfect love for his son, far beyond, you think about how much you love your kids. God's love for his son is that much greater, and he put us in Christ. And so when God sees you, he sees his son. That is how secure you are in Christ Jesus. And that is why there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. There are 3 forces that make up this law of sin and death. It's Satan, the flesh, and the world. If you were to visit an airport, you would see on the tarmac, the giant parking lot for airplanes, you would see all of these airplanes, and they're all just sitting there, and there's no anchors. There's no ropes tying them down. There's no tie downs on the tarmac because there's a law happening there. It's called the law of nature, the law of gravity, and it's holding those planes down, and there's no need to anchor them to the ground. But then when they fire up those jet engines, another law supersedes and overrules the law of gravity. And it is the law of aerodynamics. And by that law, those planes break free from the law of gravity and are raised above. And that is such an incredible picture of the fact that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made us free from the law of sin and death. That when you put yourself in Christ, well, God puts you there as you trust in Christ. But you are in Jesus Christ, and in that, the Spirit empowers you to live in such a way that you are living in the Spirit and no longer living according to the flesh. You now live in Jesus Christ. And because of that, you're free from the law of sin and death. You know, gravity is still present, but there's a higher law. You understand that? We still have to deal with the body. We still have to deal with the world and sin, but we deal with it on a completely different level. We deal with it as in that there is a power working in and through us that raises us above and brings us out of that old life that we once lived and gives us a new way of life. It says in verse 3, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You see, the key here is in verse 4, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Not by us. You understand that? It's not by us, but it's in us. It's a work that God does by his Spirit. Our flesh was never strong enough to rise above. We could never, in our own energy, break the law of gravity. We were stuck. We were stuck with the flesh, with the sin, with the body of this body of death. And Jesus Christ, by his power, gave us his Spirit and broke that bondage and now allows us to live in a whole new way of life. Verses 5 and 6 say, for those who live according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You see, when we look at this, we oftentimes think, That if there's no condemnation, then I guess we can do whatever we want. You know, we might as well just do whatever we want. Now that there's no condemnation, we might as well live in sin. But what we don't understand is that the whole point of this is that Jesus came to set us free from sin because in sin is death. And that sin still brings death even if we are living in this no condemnation. We can still experience the death of sin if we choose to sin in our lives. And so you look at this, and if you want the stench of death in your life, live for this world. Live for food. Live for getting the newest and the best stuff. Live for getting more possessions. Live for everything this world has to offer, and you will experience the stench of death in your life. If you live for those things, it's death. If you live for the Spirit, it's life. And so why is that death? Why is it death to live for the things of the flesh? You look at the very beginning and you see that God is Father, Son, and Spirit. Man is spirit, soul, and body. And that part of us that connects us with the Father is Spirit. That part of us that connects us with God is Spirit. And that part was broken and was given death when we decided to rebel against God and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator who is blessed forever. Remember Romans 1? We began to worship the creation and we desired it more than we desired God, and we rebelled against God and we believed the lie of the enemy. And the lie of the enemy is that we could have the things that God says, you know, we can't have, because we, you know, believe that it's good for us or God's hiding something from us, if we just, you know, do the things that we want to do and ignore what God says, and that we don't trust God. Instead, we worship and serve creation. How do we do that? We do that by living for this world, living for everything the world has to offer. But as believers in Jesus Christ, as people who are in Christ, we live for something so much more. You see, the world and the flesh in itself is not bad. The flesh is just neutral in the sense that, you know, this body isn't a bad thing. And all the things that God created on this world are not bad, but the enemy has taken all of those things and twisted them so that they are desirable to be worshipped. And when you worship those things, it leads to death. Why? Verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And so you have your soul, okay, that's your mind, and it's between the Spirit and the flesh. And we, as believers in Jesus Christ, are to walk in the Spirit and not walk in the flesh. Look at in the Old Testament, look at Solomon. The wisest king ever. And he thought that he could get, if anybody could have happiness on this earth by going after the things that this earth has to offer, what the world has to offer, it should have been this guy. This guy did everything. You know, if it was about money, it said that he gathered more money More gold, so much gold that silver was valueless. It was like, silver, what's that? Can you imagine the amount of gold that was in his kingdom? And he hit the top and he realized, I'm not happy. I have so much money and I am not happy. Gold everywhere. It hasn't brought me happiness. So he thought it must be sexual pleasure. And so he amassed for himself 1,000 wives and also other women that he had on the side. It was crazy. He thought he had it all. You know, and he realized, I'm not happy. He thought he would be happy by having beautiful women all around him. You know, and that did not bring him happiness. And so he thought, you know what, maybe it's knowledge. I'm going to go and I'm going to learn everything. He became a botanist and a biologist, and he knew, it is incredible what this guy knew and the amount of knowledge that he amassed. It's been 12 years learning, and he was given this incredible wisdom. So he remembered everything. And people from all over came to hear his incredible wisdom. And guess what? At the end, he said, study wearies the flesh. University students, college students, can you agree? Study wearies the flesh. And so you know what he did? He did the same thing university and college students did. He said, life must be about partying then. And so he had the most lavish parties. He had exotic animals brought in from all over the world. So there's cages full of these incredible animals and all of these crazy things that people had never seen before. And they'd come to these massive parties. And there was wine and every substance under the sun. And people thought that this must be where it's at. And he realized in the end of it that there was nothing there for him. It didn't satisfy. He says it was all vanity. And so then he thought, it must be about power. And so he amassed power like nobody had ever seen before. Every kingdom around him was subservient to him. And he reached the very, very pinnacle, the top where everybody else thought, this must be the goal in life. Everybody thought, he has it all. And this is his conclusion, Ecclesiastes 12, 13. Here is my final conclusion. Fear God, obey his commands, for this is the duty of every person. From that point on, he was called the preacher. What has been ruling your soul, the flesh or the spirit? If you live according to the flesh, you'll never be satisfied. If you're living for what the world has to offer, you'll never reach the end of your desire. But if you live according to the Spirit, you will have life and peace. Why? Because you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. So the question to ask is the Spirit, does he dwell in you? Of course he does. Are you in Christ? Then the Spirit of God dwells in you. If you're not in Christ, put your trust in him and say, God, I need your Spirit. I cannot live without you. I was so encouraged to hear Jeff gave his testimony this week. And just to hear him, you know, he got a little preachy. I mean, everybody's expecting just to hear his story, right? And he just couldn't help himself. And he started just giving her. And he's telling them about what Jesus has done for him. And he's saying, I am not ashamed. At one time, I was ashamed. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he's quoting the scriptures. He says, for it's the power of God to salvation. He's saying to the crowd, you know, awake from the sleep, you know, and Christ will give you life. Get out of bed. You know, wake up. And I'm just like, preach it. You know, God, by his Spirit, wants to do something awesome in you. And 1 Corinthians tells us that you have the Spirit of Christ and that don't you realize your bodies are actually parts of Christ? Should a man take his body, which belongs to Christ, and join it to a prostitute? Never. So Corinthians tells us you can't live the way you used to live, and because now you are a part of Christ. This is your body. It's Christ's body. Do you understand that? You take Jesus with you wherever you go. You know, one thing, you know, we have lots of seniors in our church, and I love our seniors. I love you guys. I have one regret. My regret is I should never have encouraged you to get smartphones. I get an average of 5 pocket dials a week. In a creepy kind of way, your pastor is with you wherever you go. When you're in the shop and you hit your finger, I'm there. when you're talking to your wife, I'm there. It's creepy, okay? I'm constantly hanging up on these pocket dials. Now, this is not creepy. This is incredible. God, by his Spirit, is with you all the time, and that there is nothing too big that he can't handle it. You see, this is how we think of things. We think when we do something that offends God, we think that somehow God, he wasn't there, he didn't see it, and that now we have to hide from him until we kind of clean up that part of our life before we can talk to him again. But if you are in Christ, his Spirit is with you while you did whatever sin that you just did. And our response isn't to be to run from him. Our response is right then, right there, to say, God, who will deliver me from this body of death? Jesus, help me. I don't want my life to be defined by living for this flesh. I want to live a life in the Spirit. Like C.S. Lewis says, why are you playing in the mud puddles when I got a vacation by the ocean for you? You know, you think this is fun? You're playing in a mud pile. I have life. And you're playing around with mud patties, thinking that this is just awesome. And I have something better, something more, something you've never experienced before. And leads you out of that into a beautiful life. And so, it says, now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So if you're looking and you're thinking, but you don't know how messed up I am. You don't know how deep sin is in my life and the things that I just struggle with. You don't know the kind of mess my mind is. No, you don't know how great Jesus is. If you honestly believe that he can't deal with whatever it is that you are struggling with, you don't know how great your God is. He can bring you freedom from addiction. He can bring you freedom from depression and struggles that you believe that are impossible to overcome. Because the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. He will train your mind in new ways and set new pathways in your mind and your heart that will redirect your life in the way of Jesus Christ and bring you to a place of life. And therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. How do you put to death the deeds of the body? How do you deal with the darkness all around you? You know, when you walk into a dark room, you walk into that room and face that darkness and start karate chopping it and running at it and body slamming that darkness. You hurt yourself pretty bad doing that, wouldn't you? What do when you enter in that room? You turn on the light. In the same way, if you want to face darkness in any area of your life, you bring the Spirit of God. You say, God, bring your Spirit to whatever this situation is. Bring your power and your light. Turn on the light in this area of my life. I have been trying by my own self-will to do this, and I cannot do this. And Jesus Christ, he will turn on that light in a way. Well, how do you do that? You worship him. You spend time in his word. You just meditate on his presence. And you bring Christ into that situation. A lot of people want to keep that separate. They want to have their worship time, and then they want to have their sin time. And they keep the two segregated as if God doesn't know what's happening in the other time. You know, as if God is somehow oblivious, and then we're like, okay, well, I haven't sinned in a while. Now I can worship. And no, Jesus wants to come into whatever that room is that you don't want him in, the thing that you can't deal with because you think you will always live with the struggle or with this problem. And he wants you to talk to him about it, and he wants to bring light into every part of your life. Awake, you who sleep, and Christ shall give you light.